I don't know about you. 6 months already passed. We are on our 7 months already. Coming to the 8 month. My goodness. You realize with things that are happening in our world, even in birth, time passes very fast. But everything seems to be moving very slow. How many realize that? There's nothing much you could do. You can't travel, you can't do this, there's a mandate. I think one of the reasons all these things has happened is to bring us back to the basic. To the basic. Especially for our society. Our life is such a fact very overcrowded. How many of you realize that? Before all these things happen, life is such a very overcrowded. We have used a lot of our energy, our time, you know, to get things. You realize that? You know? But all this thing has happened to bring some sense back to our brain. To bring some sense back to us that what is really important in life. When Jesus said, follow me, and that was a theme that we introduced this year, you know. And when we introduced this theme, it's the big picture. Lord, follow me. But as each Sunday is being unfold, we begin to understand what following Jesus means. It's not a nice suggestion. It's not another good ideas. I mean, there are a lot of good ideas out there. But rather, when Jesus said, follow me, it is a command. It's a command, not just a command, but it's a tall order that we must obey, following Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. It's total commitment to Jesus Christ. I want you to realize, we do not follow Jesus for benefit, even though there are a lot of benefits. Thank God for that. We do not follow Jesus because it pleases us. We follow Jesus for one purpose, to please who? To please Him. And when we follow Him in discipleship. It's all about our Christian life, ones of discipleship. And what does it mean, discipleship? Discipleship is simply means transformation to be like who? To be like Jesus Christ. Discipleship is not information, even though our world today is gripped. And especially with Google search, with this search, that search, we have so many information that you can be explode in information. You can even die with information. But it is not following Jesus for more information. It's also not following Jesus for behavior modification. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, things that you can learn. How to be a better person. How to do the right thing. But this is not what Jesus called us. He did not call us to follow Him to modify our behavior. What does He call us to follow Him? He called us to follow Him as new creation. As a new person in Jesus Christ. And all these things that has happened is to help us to recognize this. If we are to follow Jesus Christ, then we have to come back to this basic total submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How we can easily say, He is Lord. We can easily sing, He is Lord. But what does it really mean to come back to this simple thing? Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord of my life. You are the Lord of my marriage. You are the Lord of everything of what I am. How many of you ever said that before? We all say that. But I say that with so many things that happened in the past years, we forgot to come back to the basic of Jesus Christ is what? Is Lord. This morning, I want to speak about. If I'm to follow Jesus Christ, and if I'm to say that He is Lord, then first thing first. Say it with me. First thing first. Because life can be filled with many things, and life can be filled with many options. But life in Christ must be always first thing first. And who is first? Who is first? It must always be Jesus Christ. I realize that there is so much to do. Sometimes we look at our hands is so filled with so many demands. But how many hours do we have? How many hours do we have? 24 hours a day. Unless we put the first thing first, which is Jesus Christ, we will not be able to meet what we have to do. There are so many needs, that's what Sister Jennifer have said, especially with the COVID. So many needs. And with this COVID, the needs are mounting. But we also have limited what? Resources. I want to thank God for every one of you who have been giving generously to mission and who have been so involved, you know, with your hand to make all those dumplings. 1,000 of them. I was here, it was like a factory. A factory at work. I thank God for each one of you ladies and, you know, who is doing that. But I want you to know that if we are to live our life with first thing first, putting God first in everything of what we do, the choices that we make, the decision that we must have and we make for our life, for our family, or even for our business. If first thing first, then you need to answer these three simple questions. My first question to you, if life is first thing first, then who is in charge? Who is in charge? I think we all like to be in charge. How many of you realize that deep in our heart, we all like to be in control? How many of you realize that? Even though we pray and we say, God, you are in charge, you are in control, but secretly deep inside here, sometimes we feel, God, I just want to be in control because I want to know. I want to be sure. I want to be able to, you know, to pull and to push. But my question to you, who is in charge? Psalm 24 verse 1 tells us, the earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who lives in it. Who is in charge? The earth belongs to God. Everyone that lives on this earth belongs to God. Everything that is on this earth belongs to God. So who is in charge? Not you. Not me. God is in charge. Have you ever thought the house that you live in? How long was the dirt there before your house was built? And before you live in it, have you ever thought of that? Even before you were formed, the earth is already here. Even after you are gone and your house is gone, the dirt will still be where? Will still be there. Who is in charge? In the world, the Lord is owner of everything. The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who lives in it. Man may claim countries, territories, districts, and kingdom as their property. But God is the Lord of the soil. He's the Lord of the earth. He's the Lord of the world. The earth and the world and everything include human beings. Every single one. Those who don't want to know about God, those who reject Him, they need to realize they belong to God. That He created them out of nothing. He created them out of nothing. And when you think in terms of that, God is the creator. He makes everything, then he is in charge, not you. He is in control. And I thank God. I thank God that God is in charge and God is in control. You ever watch this movie called Bruce Almighty? And he said that if I was God, I will answer every prayer as yes. I mean, it was just a movie, but he was a moment that he could be God. So when all the requests came in, he pressed the button, yes. And then he realized that when it is yes for everybody, it ends up with anarchy and trouble. I thank God. Someone came to me and said, you know, so much rain. Why don't God stop the rain? I told that someone, but you know, the other side, people are praying for rain. God is in charge. And if He's in charge, everything belongs to Him. He is control. He is wiser than us. Do you know that? He is wiser than us. And sometimes I try to think like God. Have you ever tried to? And I cannot. Sometimes even I tell God, God, I don't understand you. Have you ever told God that? Come on, put up your hand, you ever. I ever tell God, I don't understand. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And it's amazing that we who are clay, sometimes look at the potter and say, hey, why do you make the pot this way? But God is in charge. If He is in charge, He is in control. If He is in charge, then everything belongs to who? Belongs to Him. Nothing is yours. I want you to say this with me. My house belongs to God. I'm willing to use it for His purpose because He is in charge. Say this with me. My children belongs to God. I'm willing to surrender them to God. Because I'm telling you, there are certain times in the life of your children that you cannot control them. Yes, they are young. You can dictate a lot of things. But there comes to a time in their life where they want to experience life themselves. And if you have been a parent seeing your children growing up, you will realize there are certain times in your life where you have to turn to God and say, God, you are what? You are in charge of my children. All I can do is just I pray for them. I set an example to them. And I warn them. But God, at the end of the day, you are in charge. You are in control. Who is in charge? We realize that Jesus talked about the rich fool. The rich fool, that he thought that he is in charge. He thought that he should set his own destiny. That he could plan and he could do and make things happen. And then with money and success and resources, he could simply do whatever he wanted and whatever he desired, whatever he thought of. But then he was shocked to discover that he is not in charge. He discovered that he was only someone here and trusted with things to look after. And that when he is gone, someone, another one will happily take his place. Every time when you think that you are in charge and you believe that you are in charge, you get yourself into trouble and problem. How many realize that? Every time. Because then when you think you are in charge, then you miss out one of the most important factors in your life. And what factor is that? It's called the God dimension, the God factor. There are things that God do that you cannot even imagine or ask. Because there are things that God do you can't even do. Who can move human heart? Who can make a man or a woman change their mind? Who can except God? The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of God. So we need to come to a place to say, Lord, the first thing I realize is when I follow you, the first thing first is that you are in charge and you are always in charge and you are in control. Who is in charge? God or you? When you think you are in charge, God will step aside. God will step aside and let you do it alone. And how many of you realize that when you're doing it alone, when you do it alone, you don't do much. You don't accompany much. But when you say, God, you are in charge, you tap into the resources, into the goodness, into the fullness of God, because God is the creator, and whatever he do and he say, it is what? It is good. I want to encourage you, take comfort that God is in charge, that you can release control to him, that you can trust him. Because it is easy to say with our mouth, God, I trust you. But when the world around you is falling apart, it is hard to practice trust. But that is the time when your world is falling apart, when things are not happening, when you need to hold on to God and say, God, you are in charge, you are in control. I don't understand. You don't have to explain to me, even though my heart said, please explain. But you don't have to explain. I simply hold and say, you are in charge, and you will see me through, and you will carry me through. And I know, God, when you are in charge, you will accomplish your purpose in my life, that nothing will happen, because you are the one that has the final say. It's he who says, it is finished, not you and me. So I trust you, Lord, that you are in charge. I know, God, when you are in charge, you may speak to my heart with some urging and plumbing. Just like David, God prompted his heart to build the house. But who is in charge? Who will supply the plan? Who will supply the material? Who did all of that? Who? God. When God is in charge, you can tap into his provision, his power, his resources, into his presence. When God is in charge, then you can be able to say, God, I acknowledge you, not my will, but your will be done. I need to come to a place always to say, God, you are in charge. When God is in charge, I know I can trust and rest in him. I don't know about you this morning, what you are praying for, what you are desiring. But know this thing, God is in charge. You may be praying for an appointment, praying for a miracle. Know one thing, God is in charge. And when he is in charge, he makes things beautiful in his time. And you don't need God to be in charge only on big things. In your everyday life, God is in charge. You know, I was looking to buy a car to upgrade my old Volkswagen. And you know, with this market that is taking place, it is almost impossible to find a second-hand car. And you find one, the price is I've been looking and praying and praying. I said, God, is this the one or should I not? And each time when I say, God, you are in charge. I know you are in charge. I know, God, that you have one for me. I just believe you have one for me, God. You are in charge. How many of you have done that before? But yet, each time when we pray, we say, but something inside says, God, why don't you do it now? So one day I found one. And he was asking for $13,500. I said, God, you are in charge. That's not the price. And the guy was not willing to move a cent. Then I waited. 2 weeks later, he's still not sold. I went to him. I told him, 11,000. And he said to me, okay. And I said to him, I need to see the car. And I arranged to meet him at Midland, because he was up in the hill, quite far away. And when I met him, we started a conversation. Do you know that conversation is good? When you want to buy things from people, have a conversation. And he told me that he was selling his car because he's going to Japan. Because he married a Japanese girl who went back to Japan, and because of COVID, she could not come back to Australia, so he wants to go and join him. So I talked to him about Japan. The little knowledge that I know. Then, I look at it. Lord, I'm going to ask him for a discount. Because you are in charge. And he sold me the car at $10,500. Who is in charge? Even in the small things in your life, even the small things in your life, can you tell God, God, you are in charge? You are in control. I trust you. The second question you have asked yourself, first thing first is, who is number one? Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 say, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in what? In everything. Who is number one? Jesus Christ wants to take first place, number one in everything. He cannot take second place. He cannot take last place, but he must be first place in your heart, in your life. My question to you, is Jesus number one? In your life, is he number one or you? He wants to be first place in your marriage, first place in your home, first place in your things, first place in your study, first place in your workplace, first place in your business. He wants to be first place because he is creator of everything, the savior of the world, the head of the church, so that the world, sinner and believer are all under his charge. He wants to be number one. You see, saying this sinner prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, does not really mean you put him first place in your life. It needs more than that. Not just a sinner prayer. When you say, Jesus, you are first place in my life, God will begin to renovate here. God will begin to change here. God will begin to align here. God will begin to do a work here. And what does he do? He increases. And who decreases? You decrease. That's what it means. God, you are first. Every day in my life, you increase, I decrease. He become more important, I become less important. He take the center stage, and I take the sideline. Is it easy? You see, we can all say, Jesus, you are first. You are first. But he say that in order for him to be first, you must be willing to what? Step aside. You must be willing to surrender. You must be willing to give him the right place. If God takes first place in everything, he must be number one. He must be the first fruit of everything. The first of your love, the first of your life, the first of your time, the first of your income, and the first and nothing, not the remain or the leftover. Jesus, you are first. I won't give you the leftover. Some of us don't have much leftover to give. You know. So when I say, Jesus, you are first, then the expression of these words, I, me, my, and mine, should not be used what? In my lips. Because these are the words that express I'm number one. But when God is number one, then He is my priority, He's my choice, He's my affection, He's my conversation. God must be what? Number one. Say amen to that. You see, I realize that in our world today, parents, you know, bring up their children with this attitude. You are number one. You must be the winner. You must always do this. You must always. How many realize that? Hey, it is good, but it can what? Become the other extreme. When the minute they don't do well, they see themselves as a failure. Do you realize why youngsters today have so much mental problem? Because they have been brought that I must be number one. And then when they don't do it, they see themselves as a total failure. We need to teach our children the number one in our life is Jesus Christ. Only He died and rose again. There was a time in my life where I want to be number one. And coming to this country with nothing, I seek and I work hard to be number one. Once I was number one as an area manager in Australia, number one as a branch manager in Australia, number one as a branch in Australia. And I won many awards by being number one. But I tell you, when I moved my house, my dear wife put all those awards into a box. Not long ago, when I look at the box, they are neither rusted or dented. I'm telling you, if you seek to be number one in this world of yours, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Who should be number one in your life? The most important person to be number one in your life is Jesus Christ. He must be number one and He must take first place and nothing else, no one else, because when He is number one in your life, as you get older, He becomes sweeter and more precious. Is Christ number one in your life? Ask yourself, who comes first? Who do you seek to please? Who interest comes first? Who fills most of your thoughts? Who fills your mind and heart? He wants to be number one in your life. Lord, before my wife, before my work, before my children, I put you first. I put you number one. And I know, God, that when I do it, everything will fall in place. Because you care about me more than I can care about myself. How many of you realize that? You know, sometimes we find it hard to release that position. You are number one. I follow you, Lord. But I'm trying to encourage you. That's the only way to go in your life. The third and final question on first thing first is, who do you serve? Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Neither he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. How true it is, you cannot serve God or Mammon. You know, if we look into their context, Mammon means money, gold, and material possession. Let me ask you one thing. How much is enough? It looks as if it is never enough. But this COVID-19 has come to a place to help us to live everyone simple. You realize that we had a law that says how simple life can be. But then, the human heart, if God is not the first place, if God is not in charge, then the human heart will always try to find satisfaction in some other things. That's why the heart always wants more and more. Until you come to a place and say, God, you are in charge, you are in control, you are number one. Then the human heart can never be satisfied. You will always want more. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those words spoken 2,000 years ago were to an audience where not everybody was wealthy. There were a lot of slaves, servants. There were a lot of lack. And he told them, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Today we live in a different world where we have so much. He is also telling us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what's one thing I like about Australia after 37 years? And it has never changed because I never allowed it to change me. And I hope you will never change me. I came to Australia 37 years ago, and the things that I like is that you don't have to care what the Jones have next door. After 37 years, I still feel the same. How about you? Because who do you serve? You serve God. Only one time where I look at my neighbor and I give in to my neighbor, only once. I look across my neighbor and their driveway was limestone, concrete limestone. Then one day I look just in front of my neighbor. He took out all his paver and he put granite, polished granite. It doesn't bother me. Then one day I look on my left, they also put granite. Then I look on my right, they also put what? Granite. Left, who on the street that has got no granite? Me. Does it trouble me, Pastor Kara? Does it trouble me? No, it doesn't trouble me. Until one day I discovered one thing. Because they were all having granite, the ends has got no place to go through. And all the ends was coming to my favor. Every day I see one hole here, one hole here. That is when I say, look, I'm not doing it because of the Jones. I'm doing it because all the ends is coming to my paver. I need to get rid of this paver and just put what? Granite also. And I must say that since the day I put the granite, I don't know where all the end goes to. But this is a great thing about this country. You can look at advertisement. You don't have to say, I need to have them. You can live in this country knowing that, you know, the only thing you want to do in your life is to love God and to serve God. I like the word of Joshua. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I'm asking you this question. If you want to follow Jesus, first thing first is, who is in charge? God is. Give control to him. Who is number one? God is. Who do you serve? God. Why don't we pray? you, Lord. He is Lord. We sing about it. We confess it. What does it mean? It means that I put him first. I always put him first. I recognize he is in charge. I recognize he is number one. I recognize he I serve. What is happening in our world is to bring believers back to that place. Lord, I follow you. I follow you. You are in charge. You are in control. You are number one. All others fall before you. You, I serve God. You are the only one that I serve. Brothers and sisters, come back to that first thing first. Let all other voice be silent. Only God and His voice. Would you stand with me this morning? Jesus. When God is in charge, He will bring order into your life, into your marriage, into your family. It's His order. He is first. This morning, if you say, Lord, you are in charge, Lord, you are number one in my life, Lord, you I serve, lift your hand to Him and say, Lord, I surrender afresh to you as your child. Fill me with your power. Lord, we stand as a people who recognize our need for you. Our life, our strength, our all comes from you. We keep our eyes focused on you, knowing that you are in charge, that you are in control of everything. Even the small details of my life, oh God, you are in control. So Lord, I surrender control to you and just trust you for who you are, for your wisdom and your knowledge and your power. Lord, I say to you, you are number one. No one takes the place except you. Only you are God. Only you are creator and savior and sustainer of my life. I say to you, Lord, you are number one. You are more important. You increase, I decrease. You take center stage, I take the sideline, God. Let people see only you, the God of glory in me. And Lord, I say to you, I serve you. I do not serve mammons of things or material possession. They are your blessing to me to be used wisely for your purpose, oh God. But I serve only you. And as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I pray, Father, bless your family here. Bless every individual. Bless every marriages. Bless every home, that Christ will become and seen as the number one of your home. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.